This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, good to be with you.
And we've got a familiar guest, at least one of our guests is familiar to me.
Yes.
And probably to some of our listeners as well.
Yes, we have in the studio today, we have Debbie Miller. She's the founder, executive director, and president. You have about five titles of Healing Hidden Hurts. It's a post-abortion ministry. And also with her is Lisa Brassi. And she was a participant, and I'm not sure all your jobs with that right now, but you're going to tell us about that too, right? So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So Debbie, tell us, what is Healing Hidden Hurts?
Well, it's a post-abortion ministry for women. It's a Christ-centered ministry, so it's not only Catholic. So I do work with other women from other Christian denominations. But because it's a one-on-one program, I have a lot more opportunities to help them in different ways. Like I can help someone who has had a recent abortion or someone who it's been 30 years, Catholic or Protestant. I can work with someone here in Indiana or in Texas or California because we can do long distance facilitation. And I found out that God is not limited by space.
Wow, that's a really important aspect that you mentioned. Lisa, how did you get involved in the ministry? How did you get connected to Debbie?
She had come to our to my parish and had given a talk, and then a few years after that I sought her out to go through her 10-step program to find healing, and ever since then I've just been giving back and helping her wherever I can.
So Debbie, how did you get started with this ministry? When did you start this? How did you get the idea for it, and how did you get this started?
The Holy Spirit.
That's a good answer. That's how we all get into that. Isn't that how we get into this, Jim?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I had a conversion in 1986 where I came back to my Catholic faith, and that was through a Christ Renews His Parish weekend. And then several months after that retreat weekend, I remembered my abortion, and I was just crushed because I'd been receiving the Eucharist. I'd been going to Mass. And the abortion was so far in my, back in my memory that I never thought about it until many months later. And so then I went on this process of a deeper conversion, a need of healing. And it took me many years before I realized the Lord was calling me into ministry. And then it was a few more years of discernment with my pastor that helped me to come to the place where I knew he was calling me into post-abortion ministry. And then I had to find out about that because I had never heard of post-abortion ministry. I didn't know how to do anything. And so it was all pretty much Holy Spirit-led.
So do you think that, and Lisa, you can chime in on here too, and this is kind of to both of you, do you think that, based on the women that you've maybe counseled or encountered or who've been through your ministry, do you think that many of the women try to forget or just kind of put it out of their mind and then it comes back, or is it like always there? Or I mean, maybe it's different for everybody, but what's been your experience in terms of dealing with it, afterwards?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, is that a strange question?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Most of the time afterwards they feel regret immediately because they realize the gravity of what they've done, that it can't be reversed, of course. But in order to cope with it, a lot of times they have to bury it because you can't look at what you've done and go on. And so it's a coping mechanism. You just have to push it back because, we have our lives to live. A lot of times we have families. In my case, I had children. So I had to take care of my children, and I couldn't think about that. I had to function. And so that's pretty much the case with other women. They push it back. They don't deal with it for many years. Fortunately, today, it's a whole different climate. Today, our young women are more familiar with how to get help. And if they're struggling, they go online and they Google help and they call. So these days, I get women who come forward 3 months after their abortion. Whereas 10, 15 years ago, it was women who were 20 and 30 years post-abortion.
And I'm wondering, you hear a lot of different things in, you know, the media. Now with social media, you know, you can get information just so quickly, you know, right on our phones. Is there a common, you know, I've heard, you know, post-abortive women have depression, that there are similar experiences that women have. And then I hear some women that say, well, I was perfectly fine, no big deal. You know what I'm saying? You have your, sure. You hear both different kinds of extremes in that. Is there like a common or similar experience that all post-abortive women share?
There's a list of common symptoms, and from those there might be four or five that each woman would have. So it kind of varies with the women, depending on, you know, personalities and her life experiences. I can give you a list of symptoms.
Go ahead. I'm curious because I really don't know what are the.
Okay.
And if that's really, I mean, you work mm-hmm. in this, you know, we're not just making this up, you know, because
right.
you know, I know there's always like a lot of questioning, I think, in the mm-hmm. in the secular media that says, well, that's not the way it is at all. But I think when you talk to a lot of Catholic ministries, where you're, whether you're dealing with people in poverty, you know, you go to Catholic charities, you say, well, what's really happening out there? Because they're on the front line. So in the same
sure.
way, you're on the front line. So give us the list.
Okay. I'm going to say anger, rage, broken relationships mm-hmm. are tops. We don't often realize how much it impacts relationships, but that's key. Anxiety. A lot of women have anxiety issues. They're on medication or medication for depression. And a lot of times, as in my case, I never connected what was going on in my life with that abortion because I'd stuffed it down so deeply that when I was struggling with things, I never made that connection. And a lot of times women don't make that connection either until some type of a crisis will happen that will kind of wake them up. You know, maybe the death of a loved one, some type of a loss, or sometimes the relationships just break up and they find themselves just shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of starts that process where you start looking within and trying to figure out what's going on.
I'm going to go ahead and reintroduce you. If you're, you know, driving in your car, you're listening, you're not sure who we're talking to, we're talking with Debbie Miller. She's the founder of Healing Hidden Hurts, a post-abortive ministry and a post-abortion ministry, and Lisa Brasi, who is also a participant and who also helps out with the ministry. Okay, so what do post-abortive women need, and how long does it take? I know you mentioned the time frame could be different, but what do they need, and how do they know they need something? Because they really kind of have to come to you, right?
Yes, when they're hurting enough, they call, and what they need is they need to be heard. They need to be able to share their stories with someone who can listen compassionately, without judgment, and a sympathetic ear. You know, they need someone who can really understand, and that's one thing they struggle with, because sometimes they can tell, you know, reach out to family or something, and the family doesn't quite know what to do with it. People don't know how to respond, and sometimes they're hurt by that because they feel rejected.
Yeah, and I think that, and I'm curious about this, because I feel like in over time, you know, abortion seems so common now, and I think by and large, I mean, in the secular society, it's pretty much accepted, you know, that it's not a big deal. I mean, obviously in the Catholic circles, we'd be like, you know, we'd have
right.
a different perspective. But do you feel that because a secular culture, how has a secular culture's acceptance of abortion made it easier for women to maybe seek help? I mean, do you understand my question?
To seek help?
Yeah, or do they feel like maybe less of a stigma in a sense? That you know, because it's accepted in the culture, you know what I'm talking about.
I think after abortion, when women have that realization of what they've done, their consciences are pricked, mm-hmm. and they realize that what they've done is something really grave. Unless it's someone who has never been raised in the faith at all, but even then, it's a part of our core of who we are as women. You know, we were created to be life givers. And it goes against our very nature to take the life of our child. And so even in women who are not religious, they realize that they've done some type of a violation to themselves as women.
So what's the first step, I guess? Like, what's the first step, and how do you help people exactly? I know you said it's one-on-one, but is there like a process that you walk mm-hmm. them through? And could you talk a little bit about that? So how do they find out about you?
They are either referred to me by someone who knows me, and I'm pretty well known in the Indianapolis area. But a lot of younger people today, they Google me and they find me. Healing Hidden Hurts pops up pretty quickly. And so more and more I get people who are looking through a Google search.
And I want to just say something else I've also noticed, and you have to be a woman to know this, but in many of the parish bathrooms mm-hmm. that there's little cards yes. in the women's bathroom. Yes. I thought that was so ingenious because, you know, you're in the bathroom and, you know, some places also have advertisements on, you know, these are mm-hmm. like secular places, but in the Catholic bathrooms, in the women's bathroom, they'll have mm-hmm. in the stall, like a little card slot at the top yes. of the door, and you can't miss that. So I thought, I'm curious, who thought of that, and how many are they all over town? Because I've seen them, because, you know, you go to something at the parish, you go to the bathroom, and then sure. there you go. There's Debbie's card for Healing Hidden Hurts. What? It's ingenious, really.
Thank you. Well, it's in some parishes, but not all, but we've had quite a bit of success with it.
So if you're listening and your parish bathroom does not have the card, they can get in touch with you at healinghiddenhurts.org, right?
That's correct. And we provide them for free, and we provide all the materials you need. We need someone in the parish who will take responsibility for that and say, you know, I will make sure that there's cards in the restroom, and when they need to be refilled, you can send them to me.
So again, getting back to what's the first step? So they can find you on Google, or maybe they find you through a friend of a friend, or however, or through the bathroom card,
sure.
right?
They just need to call. When they call, I take time to listen to what they have to say. Some women want to tell their stories. Other women just want to have a contact. And so I try to meet with them within a few days when they call, because their call is very important to me, and I want them to know that it's important to me. So we have a face-to-face meeting first, if they're local, just to get acquainted. And so she has a chance to meet me. I give her materials that she can take back home and read. We talk about what she can expect from the ministry. And then she's given time to decide and pray if this is a good choice for her, if this is a good fit.
Before in terms of going forward with you, right. your ministry for the healing
now,
process.
Now, do you have mm-hmm. some that decide not to? They say, well, mm-hmm. that sounds okay, but it's not for me?
Yes, that does happen. And I want them to be able to make that decision. So at that Get Acquainted session, we'll set up a first meeting for them that they decide on a date and time. And then they have a week or two, depending on how far out that meeting is, to mm-hmm. decide if this is something I can commit to. Because this is a pretty much 3-4 month commitment. And so they need to be able to follow through. And when they have the time to pray about it, they make a decision.
We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back for more Faith in Action. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Do you struggle with an abortion from your past? Since no one talks about it, you may think you're the only one hurting from that poor choice. Because of shame, you may have kept it a secret for years. Maybe you have even confessed the sin repeatedly, but still can't forgive yourself. That's the most difficult obstacle to healing, but God loves you, and He wants to heal your hidden hurts. Healing Hidden Hurts is a Christ-centered nonprofit organization that offers compassion and hope for women who are ready to face the pain of their past choices. Debbie Miller offers a 10-step recovery program free to women. For confidential and individual care in a comfortable and private setting, call 317-490-1267 or watch their testimony videos online at healinghiddenhurts.org. That's 317-490-1267. Healing Hidden Hurts, giving love, offering hope, and healing hurts through the grace of God, one woman at a time.
Catholic Radio Indy
gives so much hope to those who need it.
It's kind of a bright, shining star in the radio today.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and we're talking with Debbie Miller. She's the founder of Healing Hidden Hurts, a post-abortion ministry. And we're also talking with Lisa Brassi, who is involved with the ministry as well and was a participant. So, Lisa, I want to come back with you and ask, what was it like? When did you decide to call or get in touch with Debbie. And what was the process like?
I decided to contact Debbie when I had told my daughter that I had had an abortion. It had been weighing on me for probably close to 30 years. And I kept coming up over and over and over again. And I just thought, I can't keep living with this. This is just too great of a burden. And so she had met Debbie and knew Debbie. And she says, Mom, you have to call Debbie. And I said, well, okay. I've been thinking about that because I had heard her talk at our parish. And so I just felt like, yes, that would be something that I probably should do. And so with her encouragement, I called Debbie. And we set up a meeting, like she said, within just a couple of days. And I decided that, yes, that was something that I would go forward with. And I, it was just such a relief to finally talk with somebody and to go through the 10-step program.
Was that first step kind of scary to encounter, to make that first step?
Yes, yes. It was something that I'd probably been thinking about because it had been 3 years since she'd come to our parish. And I just, just kept, weighing on me. And it was just, I just could not pick up that phone and call. But once I did, it was wonderful.
Yeah. And what was it like then when you talked to her? Was it did you have like certain expectations or fears that maybe weren't realized, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did.
You don't understand my question?
Yeah, I do. It's the fear of being judged, of having had an abortion. I was 15 years old when I had it. And I just, to go through that and I realized immediately. I mean, I did not grow up Catholic, but I just knew that it was wrong when I had it, and but didn't know what to do with that.
So talk about the process, and you can both, chime in on this. You mentioned, Debbie, that it's a 3 to 4 month process, and what all happens. So when you come to that initial meeting of the Get Acquainted meeting, you just basically get acquainted, and then do you share like what's involved with the process?
Yes. What she can expect as she goes through the process, because sometimes it brings up more stress into your life. Because dealing with something like this on a regular basis just keeps it coming to the forefront. And so it's important that she knows from the get-go that this is something that's going to be difficult initially as you're going through it. But as you progress through the steps, it becomes easier. And a lot of times women will tell me that when they come in, they're really kind of nervous, for the steps. But by the time she leaves, she's filled with peace. Because there's a lot of prayer. We pray and open with scripture and close with scripture and prayer. And then there's a lot of scripture that is weaved throughout the program. She'll do scripture studies as a part of the program. And so it's very scriptural based. And the healing comes through her relationship with Jesus Christ. I am not a healer. I am facilitating a process. And so she is inviting Jesus into her life through prayer and through asking for his help to remember things that she needs to remember that need to come out into the light. And so it's really her relationship with Christ is where she finds that healing.
Now, you're talking initially about a one-on-one situation with you and someone who calls you. But you're also talking about a 3 or 4 month program. During that time, are there like meetings with large groups of people, or does it stay one-on-one, or how does it work?
We normally meet once a week. She will choose the day and the time that is best for her. We'll agree on that. And then we pretty much keep it to that same day and time each week. The exception is when I'm working with someone who is had a recent abortion, someone who's maybe 3 or 4 months post-abortion. A lot of times to meet weekly is just too much. And so if they need more time, we can meet every other week or every third week. But typically, in the beginning, they may want to go slow, but after we get through the third or fourth step, they're ready to pick up the pace.
But so there's no big meetings or sharings or things like that. It's all one-on-one?
It's all one-on-one.
So it can be completely confidential in that, you know, you don't have to do that, what Jim was saying, no big meetings. Now, is there any kind of a counseling component, or do you have referrals if they want to meet with you for the prayer and the walking through the steps process, but they maybe want other counseling, like, you know what I'm saying, like with a counselor?
Well, it's a therapeutic program. Okay. It's spiritual and therapeutic. So the guidebook was actually created by therapist who had worked with post-abortive women, and they saw what their needs were, and then they put this into a guidebook for a layperson like myself to be able to walk her through this process. So the difference is it has a therapeutic component, but there's a lot of the spiritual part that they wouldn't have if they were seeing a regular professional therapist.
Now, there is I don't want to forget this. We have about 5 minutes left or so, but I want to mention you do have a massive Thanksgiving coming up on November 10th. Is that right?
That's right.
What is that? And talk about that and where it's going to be at.
We're celebrating 20 years of ministry. I can't believe it's gone by so quickly. The Mass will be at St. Anthony Catholic Church here in Indianapolis.
Okay.
It will begin at 10 o'clock. And we will have a lunch afterwards, so everyone is invited. If you'd like to stay for lunch, you can give me a call. I'd love to add you to our list of people who have RSVP, just so we have enough food, because we don't want to run out, and we'd love to have more people. So you can contact me at 317-490-1267.
And we'll put that. We'll also put that number on the podcast and on our link. How many women have you helped over the years? I mean, do you have like any number? Like, have an idea? I mean, I don't know if you keep statistics or whatever, but just as an I mean, maybe ballpark.
It's close to 200.
Wow, that's
close
a lot.
To 200, and it's on my list to get something put together, but I just don't have time.
Now, is Healing Hidden Hurts a one-of-a-kind ministry, or if I go to Chicago or Los Angeles or someplace, would I find one over there too, or is this one-of-a-kind?
It's one-of-a-kind, but we're hoping to grow. If we can get the income that we need, we would like to have a Healing Hidden Hurts Center. And so we would be able to offer some group help then, and maybe even something for men. So that's the future that we're looking for.
Now, there's also... you guys are going to be having a table, I think, at the SEEK conference. So maybe tell us what the SEEK conference is. We've talked about it a couple times here on the radio because it's a big conference coming in to Indianapolis. I'm not going to tell it all, but I'll go ahead and let you tell it, Lisa. What's the SEEK conference? And then tell us how you got the thing connected with Healing Hidden Hurts.
SEEK conference is put on by a ministry called FOCUS, which is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And I found out about that through my daughter, who also connected me with Debbie. And she works for them in their missions department. And she invited my husband and I to go to their conference this past January that's called SLS, which is Student Leader Summit. And as we were there at the conference, we were walking around, and I was seeing all this pro-life and all these different ministries that were there. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, there's nothing here for post-abortion. It's like, we need that here. These college students, unfortunately, this is the age group that happens a lot. And I said, oh, gosh, you know, it would be nice to have something, you know, at their conference that's post-abortive. And so then, you know, the conference was going on, and towards the end, they announced that they were going to be here in Indianapolis, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I said, oh, I know exactly what we need to do. And I said, so I contacted Debbie after that conference was over, and I said, what do you think? Do you think that you would be interested in having a booth at the SEEK conference that they're going to have in Indianapolis in 2019? And she said, yeah, well, how much is it going to cost? So I investigated, and it was like, okay, the minimum amount you need is $3,000. And then it's just like, I said, what do you think? She goes, I don't know that, you know, we're a nonprofit, you know. And it's like, okay. And I said, I really think you need to be there. So I investigated, you know, more about it. And I said, I will help raise the funds. And so far we've raised right around $8,000.
Wow.
To go there.
And there's going to be 18,000 to 20,000 young people there. So that's why it's such a important that you could be there, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's for everybody, really. It's, you know, it's not, it is geared towards college students, but it is for absolutely everybody.
Yeah,
everybody
can go. I just learned about that. So you can, you know, they don't card you if you're over 25, right? We can all go to that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So now, is there a cost associated with healing hidden hurts? So if I'm a poster board of woman and I want to go, I mean, how much is it going to cost, you know?
Are you talking about the C conference?
No, I'm talking about...
Okay, the ministry is free.
Okay.
We are donor supported, so a woman who needs help, she can come. It's absolutely free and confidential.
Wow. You can't beat that, can you?
That's right. Price is right.
Yeah, so what kind of an impact... We have about a minute or two left here. What kind of impact has it had on... you both personally in terms of being involved in this ministry, you know, and really helping other women? You're in a way, you're kind of discipling them too.
Yes.
You know,
I think the thing that excites me the most is when I have someone who, a mother who has changed her mind and had her baby because she's heard my witness, because that's huge. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she may not be in the parish to hear my witness, but her relative is. And when they hear how women are really hurt by abortion, it motivates them to really intervene in the lives of their loved ones who may be in a have an unplanned pregnancy and in a crisis. And so the babies that are saved is huge. The mothers and fathers that are spared from the trauma that occurs after abortion. And then the women who experience a great conversion when they go through this process and really trust God with their past.
Lisa, what we got about 30 seconds. What's the impact been like for you to be involved in the ministry?
Just knowing that, you know, we can help women, that there is something out there for the women who have unfortunately gone through the abortion.
So for more information, go to www.healinghiddenhurts.org. And you can connect with Debbie and receive some healing, right?
That's right.
And Debbie Miller, the founder of Healing Hidden Hurts, Poster Board of Ministry, and Lisa Brasi, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you and your ministry.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.